we need to invest in our children, amen, in this next generation. You know, people say, well, they're the church of tomorrow. They're also the church of today. God wants to work through our kids as well. So don't give up, amen, because the Lord works and we work with him. And the Lord doesn't do anything in vain. The Holy Spirit doesn't do anything in vain. If the Lord is quickening you or directing you to do something, do it. Amen. If he's telling you to pray for somebody, pray for them. Why? Because the Lord doesn't do anything in vain. And we know if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And what do we know his will? Well, we know his word is his will. Amen. And God's not willing that anyone should perish. So we're praying according to the will of God. Amen. When we pray for the salvation of the lost. And so we should expect and believe in due season. How many believe that somebody had prayed for you in your life somewhere? Amen. Sometimes I was even trying to get away from those prayers. I couldn't outrun them. But I thank God for someone willing to stand in the gap. I talked about that last week, about being a person that God could rely on. Because God has given you and I the authorization in the earth realm to represent him here. And he's given us dominion, hasn't he? And so we need to obey the Lord in that and be available for him. He's looking for somebody that's going to say, Lord, here am I. Send me. And when the Lord had asked Isaiah, well, as they consulted him and the Godhead, well, who shall we send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, Lord, send me, right? So God is looking for men and women to partner with him to accomplish his purposes in the earth. And how many here are a willing vessel today? You say, Lord, that's me. I want to partner with you in this thing. So I want us to, we're going to look at Ezekiel today, Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37, the vision of the valley of dry bones. And I'm sure you've heard many messages about this. I have. I've spoke on this before. But I think it's a timely word for our nation, for our city, even for our own lives. We find ourselves at times being in a dry place. How many know that the propaganda that is being spewed out in the news and in the media is designed to produce in you hopelessness? It's to magnify fear and magnify evil so that it will appear to be bigger than it really is, so that people will see, oh, that our hope is gone. And when people are hopeless, they give up the fight. And the enemy wants to take the fight or the faith out of us. So we have to understand that God is bigger than the boogeyman. He's bigger than the devil. He's bigger than all the lies and the stuff that you're hearing. And a lot of that, you know, you have to take with a grain of salt, as you've heard it said, because there are a lot of lies being presented to us right now. Amen. There is a narrative, and the devil is behind this narrative. He wants to produce hopelessness. There's been an increase, a spike in suicides because of hopelessness. Because young people are believing that there's just no hope, that there's no future. How many here would agree that God is able to turn America around? Is America in a mess right now? Absolutely. Is God able to turn it around? Yes. Absolutely. God wants us to be effective witnesses for him. He wants us to be salt and light, to be influencers for him in this generation. I was listening, I told this, I think, Wednesday night, but I have a little clock alarm radio beside my bed that I think I've wore the snooze out on, but it comes on, and I've got it onto one of those Christian radio stations, and I'll just hit it, and it'll come on, and somebody will be talking. And once in a while, something will catch my attention, and I'll say, oh, what's this? Well, it was James Dobson. He's focused on the family, that group. And they had a guest on there, I don't know who his name was, but he was saying that this latest generation is called Generation Z. Have you heard about that? And this is what he said. I thought I heard him correctly, but he says this is considered the generation of hopelessness, Generation Z. What kind of message is that sending to that generation? You're the generation of hopelessness. See, this is the narrative of the enemy. See, the enemy wanted to produce hopelessness in the hearts of God's people. You see, even when they're in the wilderness, amen? And he messed with them, didn't he? When they went and they sent out the spies and they saw that there were giants in the land. And the enemy, you know, is always trying to make himself look bigger than he really is. If God said, I've given you the land, then that was the final authority, the final word, amen? and they needed to believe God and quit looking at things from a natural perspective. Our problem is often we're evaluating things in our own understanding from a natural perspective, which can be often tainted, amen, and distorted even by the narrative of what we're hearing and seeing in the natural, even hearing from the media. And so this narrative of the enemy is there to magnify fear and get everybody into a place where they just feel like it's too big, it's too bad, it's too impossible. That's what happened to Israel. They begin to think that somehow these giants were bigger than the promise of God, and that God's word was not something that they could trust fully, because they were looking at things in the natural and trying to, in their own minds, evaluate things and probably determine whether or not they had the ability in themselves to conquer these giants. How many know that you're no match for the devil apart from Jesus Christ? But in Christ, amen, we can do all things through the strength that he supplies, amen, the ability he supplies. And God has authorized us to go in his name, in his stead, to represent him, amen. And so let's read this, Ezekiel 37. It's going to be a lot of reading here, so hang on. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. So you can imagine, if you're seeing this vision, you're probably thinking, man, that looks pretty bad. It looks hopeless. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you, and bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. How many know that the bones, the sinews, the flesh had nothing to do with what God determined to do? It's what God said was going to happen that was going to happen. And so he chose a person to partner with him, and this was Prophet Ezekiel. And what did he do? He obeyed the Lord in verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. I spoke, and I prophesied. There was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews in the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, and there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. And then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, what? Our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land, then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. God accomplishes his purposes as mankind partners with him. You and I are called to this. And because of Ezekiel's obedience, Israel was restored. They were brought out of Babylonian captivity back into freedom. And that was something that didn't happen in his lifetime, but a generation later. But Ezekiel's obedience produced, amen, that miracle, because he was willing to partner with God and speak what God was speaking. You remember our Lord Jesus, he didn't just speak anything. He said, what I hear my Father speak, that I speak. God is wanting us to partner with him, to come into communion with him, to be acquainted with him, to know his voice. So when God speaks, we can speak. that we can hear clearly what God is saying. It's because when we speak what He is speaking, it is life-giving. That's why Jesus said, "These words I speak unto you are spirit and they are life." They're life-giving. Even when God corrects us, it's life-giving. God always corrects with redemption in mind. Are you hearing me? It's redemptive. His word is redemptive. God's heart is to save. It's not just to punish us because you're being a knucklehead. He wants to save you, amen? Because He loves you. So they were in a situation here. The nation of Israel had been in a place where they felt like there's just no more hope. There's nothing else we can do. Have you ever been in a place in your life where there was just nothing else you could do? Have you ever tried to get yourself out of a situation that you couldn't? How hopeless sometimes things appear in our lives, where we're facing a new challenge in life and saying, "Now how am I going to get out of this one?" You know? I think we've all been there if we've been honest, amen? We're not all that super spiritual, are we? We have to contend with this flesh man, amen, this outer man, amen, that wants us to rely on his wisdom and try to figure things out in our own wisdom. And often God's going to bring us into a place where we've never been before, and He's going to test us in that place whether we're going to trust in our own ability or in His ability, in the power of God or in the power of my flesh. Now, my flesh has to be involved in the process, in that I have to join myself in my person, amen, to the purpose of God, and be a willing vessel so that my will comes under the will of God. Amen. When you're under the will of God, you're under His authority. When you place yourself under the will of God, it means you're placing yourself under the Word of God. It means that I am believing God's Word, and I am going to walk appropriately. Amen. I'm going to walk according to God's instruction. How does God teach us? By the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit He's given unto us. If you're born again today, you have the teacher within you, amen? And He will say, "This is the way, walk in it." And the Holy Spirit never contradicts this book, amen? He's always in agreement, amen, with even that which is written. And even when Jesus was tempted, remember, He said, "It is written." He quoted what was written, amen? But you know, America, think about America today. I think America, in a lot of ways, is kind of like national Israel. We're so wealthy, and we have so much, and yet there's so much hopelessness. You know, another nation that's really so hopeless today is Japan. Japan is one of the wealthiest nations on the planet. They have all the bells and the whistles and all the toys and the technology, and yet their suicide rate is one of the highest in the world because there's no hope in any of that. Amen? They're thinking that if I can just get the next toy or the next thing, that somehow that's going to make me, you know, that's going to complete me. It's going to satisfy me. But that's a lie, isn't it? How many know that the things of this world are passing away? And the temporary things can never really truly satisfy you. Only the Lord can truly satisfy the deepest longing of your heart. And God doesn't want us to follow other gods, other idols. God wants us, amen, to listen to His voice. God wants us to prioritize the kingdom, amen, of God, the will of God above everything else that we do. Because we know, and He has made clear to us, that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. And those who walk in obedience to the Spirit of God by the word of God, amen, are the ones that will bear fruit unto eternal life. Those are the ones, amen, that will have the abundant welcome. Those are the ones where the Lord will say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You are willing to deny yourself to take up your cross and follow me." And hallelujah. And how many know that whatever you give away in the Lord, you never lose? Well, you try to hoard to hang on to your life, you lose it, Jesus said. I find my completion, I find my joy in serving Him. Hallelujah. When you know that you're in the will of God, amen, and you're in that place where God wants you to be, there is a satisfaction. That's why Jesus said, "My meat is to do what? The will of my Father." My meat speaks of bread and bread satisfaction. My satisfaction is what? Doing the will of my Father. Hallelujah. He wasn't finding satisfaction in the temporal things of this life, but in knowing that he was in communion and in right standing, in obedience to the Father's plan and purpose for his life. And he gave us an example that we should follow in his footsteps. Now we can discern this nation's condition, its true condition, by the Spirit of the Lord. Just like Ezekiel was not able to know these things except that the Spirit of the Lord had revealed them to him. He was taken in the Spirit of the Lord, and God revealed to him the true condition. You see, the problem I think today is that even in the church there are many people who are blind to their true condition. And guys, we have to be honest with God, and we have to say, God, I realize I'm not all that, but I want to know my true condition. If there's something that I need to repent of, God, I want to do that. I want to get things right. I want to get things settled. You know, the church of Laodicea was lukewarm, and yet they thought they had everything going for them. They thought they were doing fine. Oh, we don't need to pray like other people. We don't need to, you know, listen to God like other people. We're doing fine. Everything is going my way. Life is good. We got money in the bank, you know. But they didn't know their true condition, that they were poor, they were miserable, they were blind. And only the Lord can reveal to us our true condition. We need to ask God, Lord, show me. Reveal to me. I thank God he takes the lid off sometimes my own facade or my own deception, self-deception. You know, sometimes we think we're all that. And all of a sudden, God just takes and turns the heat up a little bit more. And some stuff starts to boil up. And we say, oh, my word, what was that? It humbles you, right? You know, it is very true that, you know, we can humble ourselves or God will humble us. Isn't it right? We can humble ourselves or God will humble us. Because God is the one who humbles us. Yeah. Why? Because he wants user-friendly vessels. He doesn't want somebody that's arrogant and full of themselves. Self-righteous. He can't use people that are full of themselves. He needs people that are going to be empty of themselves and full of Jesus. Amen? We partner with God. We have a part in this. Amen? God came to redeem our soul. Our soul is who we are, our person. But we partner together with the Lord and we submit to God. And as we do that, then we can resist the devil, you see, and he will flee from us. And so here it says their hope is gone. 1 Timothy 2:1, therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Now, as believers, you and I are not exempt from troubles. And listen, we're not exempt from troubles that others may cause. In our nation, okay, the decisions that the people of our nation make can influence us. Even if you're living right and walking with the Lord faithfully, the decisions that unbelievers make can influence or at least have an effect on us. For example, if God, because he is just, has to bring judgment upon a nation because of the sins of the people and because they are unrepentant, if God has to do that, then even the righteous that are among those people will suffer because of it. And that's why Paul is telling Timothy, guys, listen, you need to stand in the gap. God's calling his people, the ones called by his name, to humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways. Because he wants to hear from heaven. He wants to forgive our sin and heal our land. And so Paul is telling Timothy, guy, you need to be praying, amen, for these people in authority over you. Don't just be slinging mud, because I know I can get in there with the best of them, you know, and sling mud because I don't like the stuff I see, but that's not going to change anything. What's going to change things is God's people coming together, amen, and calling in God's kingdom reign, amen, to influence these people, because the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord. And he can direct that heart, amen, as we pray, Lord, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Because America can be likened to this, I believe, this valley of just dry bones and hopelessness. Even as too many Christians are allowing this thing to get on them. And thinking, oh, it's just so bad. It's just so hopeless. Quit looking at that. Start looking at the Lord, looking at the solution, looking at the one who can change things, who can make a difference, amen, in this world. We must intercede because, guys, if we don't, we're all going to be affected. And already it's beginning to happen, but I know that God is able. You know, when I begin to pray for our nation, something is quickened inside of me. There's an awakening in me, and the Lord is saying, this is my will, is that you would agree with me, amen, for a turnaround. And I believe at least God wants to give us some time to repent, some space to repent as a nation. And God's going to have His way in the nations. And every knee is going to bow to Him in that day. But as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. We're going to bow down now. We're going to get into compliance, into agreement with the Spirit of God. We're going to pray for His will to be done in the nations, for His will to be done in America, His will to be done in our families, His will to be done in our neighborhoods. Amen. We want an invasion of heaven here in Shelton. Praise God. And the devil wants to talk you out of that. He wants to try to present to you an image that is just so bad and looks so hopeless that you're going to lose heart and give up. And that's why we're counseled in Galatians 6:9, what? To not become weary in well-doing. For what? In due season you shall reap if you lose not heart. If you don't lose heart. If you don't give up. Let's believe. Let's gather. Let's join. You see, when we are in faith, we will pray. If you don't have a prayer life, it means you're not in faith. Because when you're in faith, you know and believe that God is able. And therefore, you take advantage of the opportunity you have to approach His throne of grace, amen, and call His kingdom reign in. To influence the leadership that we have even in our nation. Praying for the lost, praying for salvation to come to the lost. Somebody prayed for us. How many know that God is looking for someone to partner with? His eyes roam to and fro throughout the earth, looking for those whose hearts are what? Really, that are loyal to Him. That are willing to come into agreement with Him and say, Lord, I'll be a vessel for You. So God shows Ezekiel this valley in verse 2. It says, He caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, there were very many bones in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, You know. I don't know, guys. Sometimes I look at our nation from a natural perspective and I say, man, it's pretty bad. It's pretty hopeless. And I you know what? I refuse to get on the bandwagon of us all going to hell in a handbasket. So let's kind of kick it while it's down. I believe that we should stand up and fight against that. I believe we should have confidence that God is able to turn things around if His people. Yes. If you and I. If we're really believers, we'll pray. Because we'll understand that God is, amen, and He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11:6. How does God feel about the lost? Well, the same way He did for Israel of old. Ezekiel 33:11. This is another verse from a different chapter. But as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? This is God's heart. God is just. And because of His justice, sin must be dealt with. Amen. But praise God, we have an advocate with the Father. We have a defense attorney with the Father that we can call on. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiveness. But God, I don't want to be part of the problem. I want to be part of the solution. I spent enough of my life being part of the problem. It's time for you and I to step up, amen, and say, here, my Lord, send me. Ezekiel 37, back to chapter 37, verse 4, and He said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And that's what America needs today, guys. They need to hear the true word of the Lord. They need to hear it preached. They need to hear it taught. They need to hear it witnessed. Amen. It's got to be done through anointed, spirit-filled, anointed men and women of God. Amen. Who walk with the Lord, who walk in the Spirit. You and I are incapable of changing anything. I don't care how much scripture we memorize or even quote, apart from the Spirit of God, amen, it can be just a dead letter and destructive. We need to be in the Holy Ghost, amen, and trust in Him and His ability, amen, to work through us, to impart life to those who are hearers, those who are willing to hear. There are people, amen, that are there, that are willing and open. They just don't know where to turn. They don't know what to believe. You go to these foreign nations and you speak to people the simple gospel message, and all their life they've been looking for something of that, and they have never known where to turn or who to believe, and they've chased after other gods, trying to fulfill, you know, something in them that was lacking, and yet they hear the gospel for the first time and they're like, all my life I've waited to hear this. I didn't know what it was, but that's truth. That's what I've been needing to hear. And they so quickly respond. And yet in America, so much, and even in the church, guys, we can be gospel hardened. We can become callous. Oh, I've heard that before. I can even quote that. Yeah, well, are you in agreement? Are you in compliance? Are you walking in that? Are you living that? Are you submitting yourself to that truth, the Word of God? Joel 2:28, this is God's promise, amen, in the end times. It shall come to pass afterwards. I believe we're in that time now, by the way, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days. You and I are authorized by the Lord Jesus Christ to prophesy in His name. To speak the very oracles of God. That means as if God Himself were speaking. Because when we're being governed by the Holy Spirit and we're listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, when we speak those words that the Holy Spirit gives us, they produce change. They bring transformation. They bring people to life. Prophesy to these bones. Speak to the deadness. Speak to the lifeless. Speak the words of truth to the lifeless, that they may live. Prophesy to them. Just as Ezekiel of old obeyed God in this, and there was a miracle that took place. Acts 1:8, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. What people need is God's anointed word, amen, not man's wisdom. We need to prophesy what God is saying to the valley of dry bones. In verse 5, Ezekiel 37, thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. That word breath means ruach in the Hebrew. It means wind or spirit. He's saying now, the first thing I want you to do is I want you to prophesy to the bones. And as Ezekiel had obeyed God and he prophesied to the bones, what happened? The bones came together. The first thing, the precursor, amen, to the move of God, to the outpouring of the Spirit, is that there be unity. That the body of Christ get over the petty differences and come together for the purpose, amen, of seeking the Lord and for His will to be accomplished. And when we come together with one heart, amen, and one accord, just like it was on the day of Pentecost, amen, suddenly came this sound from heaven, amen, of a mighty rushing wind. God wants to breathe life, amen, back into the body that in many ways have lost hope. And you know they've lost hope because they've lost their passion. There's no passion. There's no seeking. There's no prayer. Very little. And the prayers that are offered are dusty. There's no passion for the Word of God. Guys, when you're hungry, you're healthy. When you're hungry, you're healthy. When you're sick, you're not hungry. If we're full of the garbage of the world, you're not going to have an appetite for that which truly satisfies. See, God's calling us to come out of that. Forsake those gods, those idols, those lesser things. Exchange them for the superior things, the things of Christ, amen, the will of God. In Hebrews 6:19, it says that we have a hope in the Lord. It's a strong, trustworthy anchor for our souls that leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. This is a picture of the temple, amen, and the holy place where God dwells, that we have access now through the blood of Christ with confidence, with boldness into His presence. Because of what? Verse 20, Jesus has already gone in there for us. He's our forerunner. He has become our eternal high priest in the order of Melchizedek. That's another teaching for another day. America needs to be born again. America needs to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. America needs to be changed into a different nation, just like Saul of old. When the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, he became what? Another man. That's what America needs, to be changed. Amen. It's not about you and I trying harder to be better. How many have tried that? Well, I tried Christianity and it didn't work. Well, yeah, because you can't live the Christian life apart from Him. You simply need to partner with Jesus and rely upon Him for the grace that you need, amen, to be an expression of His heart in this world. In verse 7 of Ezekiel 37, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was what? A noise, suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together bone to bone. What was necessary? Obedience. What's necessary in our lives? Obedience. If God is saying speak, speak. If God says be quiet, be quiet. If God says pray, pray. If God says run, run, run. If He says jump, jump. How high? So as a result of him obeying God, coming into agreement with the Spirit of God, order began to come. God brought order to the disorder. He brought life to the deadness. In verse 8, indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, and there was no breath in them. So sometimes, guys, we can get together and have a great time together. Great fellowship. I think fellowship is important for the people of God. Would you agree? And you know, we can all sit and eat popcorn and watch a movie together. Right? And all kind of be in unity. We're all watching the same movie, enjoying the same flick. Amen? But that doesn't necessarily mean that you're really one in heart. Amen? You're one in a particular goal or purpose. So you come together and you have a congregational joint, if you will, assembly. But it's not enough just to get together and do things together. We need the breath of God. We need to go, amen, the next step. We need to pray and prophesy to the rock, to the Holy Spirit, say, come from the four winds and breathe, Lord, upon your people. God's calling us to partner with Him. He's calling us to reach out to this generation and to speak the gospel, to call the dry bones to life, to lead people to Jesus. You prophesy to the breath and say, come, O breath of God. Breathe on me, breath of God. There's an old hymn. This speaks of prayer, guys. Communion with God, calling on the Lord. Insistent prayer. For God's breath to blow. Guys, we got to get past the drive-through mentality. And we need to wait on God. We need to pray through. Amen? Sometimes prayer can be a struggle. The enemy opposes prayer. He hates prayer. Because prayer, amen, is basically bringing that will of God to this earth. And whenever God moves on this earth, it's destructive to the devil. And to his purposes, his plans. That's why he's seething about all the stuff that's being exposed in Washington, D.C. God's pulling the lid off. He's exposing it. And they're seething. The devil hates the light. He hates to be exposed. That other part of you, that old nature, hates to be exposed. It hates truth. I don't want to hear that. But if you're in Christ, there's a new man, amen, that enjoys, that delights in the Word of God, that delights in the truth. So you got to feed that part of you, amen, and starve out the other. Ministry is really walking with God, partnering with God. Ministry is not going to a college, a Bible college, getting a bunch of information, learning a bunch of theology, and then swallowing people with your wealth of knowledge and how well you can preach or quote the scripture. True ministry flows from the heart of God. True ministry comes from God Himself. And you and I are simply vessels that are to partner with God so God can work through us to reach the lost, to bring life to the deadness, to bring in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ into any situation that may appear to be hopeless, but it's not hopeless before God. We've got to get past our natural inclination to believe the report or the evil report of the enemy that tells you it's too big, it's too bad. Has anybody beside myself quit praying for somebody before because you just thought, well, it's hopeless? Yeah, I've done that more than once. And after I quit praying for that person, God moved in that person's life, did a miracle in their life. And then I felt like, oh, God, I'm sorry. Oh, ye of little faith, Lord, forgive me. Yeah. Hallelujah. You know, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, clay jars, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. It's not of us, it's of Him. So I prophesied, he said. I spoke. And what happened? It says, breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Guys, you and I need to be willing vessels, even in dry times. We need to continue to pray, continue to prophesy, continue to wait on the Lord, even in the valleys, even in the dry place. What happens so often is the devil messes with you in the dry place. Isn't that where he messed with Jesus? In the dry place, in the wilderness? Well, we need to continue to pray, to prophesy, and to wait on God, amen, in the dry place. Keep on sowing seed. Amen. Keep on watering that seed. Don't become weary in well-doing. Don't give up. Because sometimes I think we give up on the brink of a miracle. God is getting ready to do something. And we throw in the towel because the devil talked us out of it. Because he's afraid of prayer. He doesn't want you praying. Jesus is our lifeline. And he's called us to pray for intervention. Guys, pray every day. Establish a time when you pray. Amen. I know we can pray on the fly. We can pray wherever we're at. But to establish a time where you're just going to have concentrated time with God. Amen. Alone with God. And I tell you what, if it wasn't for that, I think I would probably be bouncing off a rubber room somewhere today. If it wasn't for the grace of God. You know what I'm talking about. But we need to be a willing vessel for the Lord. I love this, one of my favorites, Isaiah 40:31. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Listen, God wants His church awake. God wants His church on fire for Him. He wants us to break out of lukewarmness. Get out of that lukewarm bath water that we've been soaking in. Get into the fire of God. I mean, get into the throne of God, hallelujah, where you will have your batteries regenerated, if you will. Will you be quickened by the Spirit of the Lord? You know, we got to get over I say it often, but we got to get over the event mentality. We're going to have an event Sunday morning. And to get into a lifestyle of walking with God, amen. It's not about just doing a thing over here or over there. It's about walking with the Lord daily. And when we come together, we should already be prayed up, already in the Spirit. So that we have something, amen, that we can participate in. And that we can share in. Just by virtue of Jesus Christ living in us. and you and I abiding in him, you can change atmospheres. When you walk into places, you can shift the atmosphere in that place. Not because of me, but because of Christ in me. But we want to reflect Christ. We want people to see Jesus. And how many know that the more time you spend with somebody, the more you start looking like them? You actually start to take on the characteristics of that one that you're intimate with. But Ezekiel 37:11, he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off." Don't ever believe that lie. Don't ever believe that it's hopeless. You know, the army is identified as the whole house of Israel. I believe that Israel is a type of the church today in Galatians 6:16. In verse 15, it says, Galatians 6:15, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation." It's not about external ceremonies. It's not about religious practices. It's about a relationship, isn't it, with the Lord. In verse 16, "As many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them." And, listen, upon the Israel of God. The Israel of God. Don't confuse national Israel and the promises God gave to national Israel with spiritual Israel. "For he who is a Jew," what? "Is not one outwardly, but one inwardly. And circumcision is" where? "Of the heart. And God has brought together the two." There's no elite groups out there, amen? "Both Jew and Gentile brought them together into one new man in Christ. There's no longer male nor female, bond or free, but all are one in" what? "Christ Jesus." God, you all have to come the same way through repentance. Amen? There's no second class citizens in this kingdom. Praise God. That gives me hope. Then, he said, "Speak a message of hope, Ezekiel. God's going to open your graves. He's going to bring you out of your deadness. He'll bring you back to the land of promise. And you shall know that I am the Lord, and when I have opened up your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves." If you're feeling sometimes like you're languishing in a valley of dry bones, remember, by virtue of the fact that you're God's people, he's got his eye on you. He cares about you. He hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't forsaken you. What he wants you to do is trust him. He wants you to come to him. If you're stressed out, if you're worried, if you're fearful, if you're carrying the world on your shoulders, God wants you to come to him and rest and let it all go. Just give it over to God and say, "God, I'm going to trust you with it. It's illegal for me to carry this." God wants his people to enjoy his rest. He purchased our rest at the cross. He made possible for us rest, peace, that passes what? All understanding. It's in Christ alone. And guys, just because we make mistakes, remember Peter made a lot of mistakes too. God allowed Peter to fail over and over again until finally Peter learned. Okay? He finally got it. "I get it now, Lord. And when you're converted," he said, "you will strengthen your brothers." Amen? So don't give up on each other either. Amen? We're going to stand in the gap and keep believing. Keep praying. Amen? Keep praying for me. Amen? Appreciate it. But God says, "I'm going to put my spirit in you and you shall live." So finally, determine, no matter what you're facing, trust the Lord in the valley. Remain in the Word of God. Remain in prayer. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible says, "Stir up the gift within you." Hallelujah. You know what helps me pray? Just giving God praise. Just walk. I like to prayer walk. I walk and pray a lot. But as I do, I'll begin to give God praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're good to me. I thank you for your grace. Lord, I thank you for the cross. I thank you for the price you paid. I thank you that my sins are forgiven. I thank you that you hear me and that you always hear me. And because of that, Lord, I believe that you're going to hear me now as I pray. And you're going to answer these prayers according to your will. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And as you begin to praise Him, He inhabits praise. You know, God doesn't inhabit complaining, right? God isn't complaining pessimism and ugliness. He wants His people to trust Him. And when we are trusting Him, we will be joyful in Him. Because we know it's not hopeless, because we have the God of all hope. He is our God. He's on our side. He's with us. He's not against us. If God be for me, who can be against me? We need to hold on to the promises. What shall separate me from the love of God? Doesn't matter how I'm feeling today, God is faithful. His mercies are new every morning. Today is a new day. God wants us, His people, to rise up and shine. Because our light has come, and that light is Christ. The glory of the Lord is risen upon us. And even though there may be deep darkness upon the people around us and the nations around us, it shall not be upon God's people. We are the light of the world as we represent Him here.